Good afternoon and welcome to the presentation of the preliminary revenues for the first half of 2023 of Casa di Moda Brunello Cucinelli. The speakers will be Mr. Brunello Cucinelli, the Executive Chairman and Design Director, Mr. Riccardo Stefanelli, CEO, Luca Lisandroni, CEO, Dario Pipitone, CFO, Moreno Ciarapica, Co-CFO Senior, and Pietro Arnaboldi, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Director. If you need assistance from the operator during this conference call, please press star zero. Now, let me yield the floor to Mr. Brunello Cucinelli, please.
Welcome. So first of all, this is the half year results we are presenting. So welcome to you, all the analysts, investors, the reporters that are connected. I personally enjoy these conference calls very much. This afternoon, translation into English will be delivered by Anna Maria, because our interpreter, Chiara, is actually sitting at the beach and having a nice tan. And I'm personally, I don't speak much English, and I love working with Chiara, but she's at the beach. This year, we decided to have conference calls in July and December, so six times per year, as we did in 2020, 2021, and 2022, because we still like to consider this year as the year of total rebalancing, and we like to hear a lot from each other. We're still here, of course, Luca and Riccardo, Dario, who's the new CFO since April. And Dario has not yet fully replaced Moreno Ciarapica, who's our Co-CFO Senior. It's like having two pilots flying the same plane. I mean, Moreno was sitting on the left hand side, and he moved over to the right, and vice versa, Dario moved over to the left-hand side. So how would we like this to happen? I'd give you the main numbers, then we talk about the first half, which has completed. Then we'd like to update you on we think will happen in the second half. Then we'll see some forecasts for 2024. We'll briefly talk about products and the value of our places, Solomeo in particular. Then would like to update you about a deal you're all familiar with Chanel and Cariaggi, and talk about our wonderful third-party manufacturers. Then we'll dedicate some minutes to fragrances and eyewear and the website. And tonight, I'd like to keep 4 or 5 minutes to briefly discuss artificial intelligence, because this is actually a call where we have a bit longer than usual, and so we may actually tell you something about what we're doing for this major issue for the future. Let me now report some data to you. Revenues stand at 543.9 million euros, with a wonderful growth, +31% at constant exchange at current exchange rates, and +30.5% at constant exchange rates over the first half of 2022. All geographies are very good. Americas +23.9%, Europe +22.6%, Italy +23.7%, Asia +55.6%. A relevant increase of revenues in both sales channels, retail +41.6%, wholesale +15.8%. The first half, which has already closed with very good performances, the excellent process of winter deliveries and the favor we see around our brand and product proposal allows us to review upwards our estimates for the growth of revenues for 2023, from +15% to a gap anywhere between 17% and 19%. And then we'll talk about this beautiful deal we have completed with the wonderful company, Chanel, on the purchase of a stake and the partnership we started with Lanificio Cariaggi, which is our supplier of top-level, top-quality cashmere. So I'm presenting myself by writing as follows: the first half of this year ended with more than excellent results. We like to think that we are reaping what the brand stands for in its style and in the way of conceiving the balance between work and the relationship with the creation. Thanks to the strong demand for handcrafted and exclusive products, we continue to have a very positive outlook on the absolute luxury world market. As a result, we are very confident about the future performance of the business for the current year, where we expect to close the year with an increase in sales between 17% and 19%. Given the excellent sell-out of the Spring/Summer 2023 collections, we are nearly at the end, and the significant order intake, which has already been almost completed for the men's Spring/Summer 2024 collection so far, we expect a healthy growth of around +10% for next year. Now, for just a second, I'd like to clarify this issue of the guidelines. So you know that for our culture, ever since we first started 12 years ago, we always thought we would give you a general budget for the current year and for the next year every time we talk, because this is what happens to us. I mean, we live in a location where we feel we have a good relationship with the institutions. And so when, for instance, our mayor every day, or the president of the region, or the local head of and representative of the government tell us, "How's business? What are you doing? How are things going?" We would like to be active players in our community, and we cannot answer these questions by telling them we cannot say anything because we're listed. So this has always been our strategy, also because we live in a small town and we work in a small town. So this is what I wanted to tell you about. So it is certainly true we can make mistakes, but myself personally and all of us, we always decided that if I were an investor, I would like to hear some forecasts. Ever since 2020, or better, sorry, ever since 2000 up until 2023, we grew as an average of 13.5%. From the IPO, we grew around 13% every year, 13 years ago. It's been a pretty constant growth. Then, of course, 2020 was a difficult year. We posted -10%, but as soon as we saw some possible improvements, so we did tell people what we thought would happen. And 2021 was a year of great rebalancing, and we ended at +30%. In 2022, we posted +30% again, even though our budget was +20%. But there was a very key issue there, which is, first of all, fashion suddenly twisted towards a taste which is much more in line with our taste. And also, we are lacking products on the market, which is still a problem. I mean, it's still something that we see in this first half of the year. So the performance in the second half, in the second, well, to complete this, of course, we may make mistakes in our forecasts, but we'd rather give you some forecasts for the next 3 years, 2 years, current year, and we would actually prefer talking to you about this. We were discussing this at the board meeting this morning. Even our directors, that they can freely talk about our company and just tell frankly about our projects. We may make mistakes, but we're happy to disclose our forecasts. So please do remember that we are prepared and happy to give you forecasts. So the second quarter has been pretty continuous versus the first quarter, so it was very strong, robust half year in the end. And it was pretty strong and robust pretty much everywhere. So, of course, the product is actually going towards this this taste of ours. So what we call quiet luxury is really something we have actually been standing for. And I could say that actually all geographies are doing really, really well. I'd like to start with the U.S. market. This is a very strong domestic market for us. And last year, this same quarter had grown by over 60%. And so the half year was plus 24%, which is really relevant and important. And then Europe, I don't know what you think about this, but personally, personally, you see that wherever we go, we see American tourists everywhere. I'm overjoyed about that, of course. I'm really pleased. That means our American friends are bringing in a nice and happy atmosphere. Italy, well, you know, wherever you go, I was in Florence a couple of days ago, you can't walk down the street. I'm never complain and say it's too much, so please try to understand what I mean. But frankly, I don't know whether in the future we'll be able to properly manage and govern the amount of millions of people that are coming over to see us without risking to lose the identity of our places. So, of course, we need to protect the genius loci, the identity of our locations and places, which is a very strong tenet for us. So, Luca, what do you think about this? Well, today it's really good to see that many of our U.S. Resellers are really careful in and do personally present to their colleagues in Europe some of the clients that are traveling to come here. So as Brunello said, the recovery and the pickup of international tourism from the U.S. to Europe is very visible and very strong. But if we look at Asia too, it is certainly true on one side that Chinese tourism towards Europe is still very limited, but there is a lot of regional tourism going on. And if you look at the performance in Hong Kong and in Singapore, both cities are doing even better than in 2019, and they have once again gone back to being a key pole of attraction for a lot of Asian tourists. So at the same time, we're very happy about the performance in mainland China, and this is actually on a pretty much like-for-like basis. So you know that we sell 12 to 13% of our revenues in China. Do remember that, please. But actually, China has gradually and constantly getting closer to the potential we know it has. We are opening about one store per year there. Today we have 19 stores. We still serve 40 multi-brand customers there, and they're also growing very nicely on a like-for-like basis. So you can certainly imagine that over the last years we've been scouting city by city new beautiful specialty stores. Of course, for obvious reasons, this has been more difficult in the last years, but we still do believe in the role of wholesale and multi-brands in China. And Korea is also very strong in that respect. So to complete our view on Asia, and speaking of Korea again, so you may remember that in Korea we have a distribution agreement with a very important partner, Shinsegae. They are actually going to see us in Salome in the next few days. And we're getting closer and closer to our partners, even in the daily management of everything we do, because the Korean market is becoming more and more important, and it's actually having more and more relevant influence on the Asian market altogether. And Mr. Cuccinelli is saying 5 or 6 years ago we never went to Korea, and we do go there all the time now, so that's a very significant change. And finally, and this is Lucas speaking, there is a beautiful growth of wholesale, which is showing strongly three main features of this channel. So wholesale is a proximity channel with beautiful capillary distribution on geographical locations. It's a physical channel to begin with, and the physical channels have become very important throughout this first half year. And one final thing is that the wholesale channel is based on trust, mutual trust between sellers and buyers. And I think this is this like-for-like improvement is something we should never forget. This is Mr. Cuccinelli speaking now, and he says, even during this first part of the year, deliveries have not been perfect, and production issues have been felt. There's been a lack of raw materials in particular. We believe that in the second half of the year, this will be rebalanced. So for the fall winter, we believe we're going to have a beautiful season where normalization will finally kick in. We believe that this issue of late deliveries will not hit 2024. So many times we're told that we're lacking reorders, but besides lacking reorders, I should say that all deliveries have been late by 2 or 3 months, and so of course reorders are not there yet. But for the second half of the year, we think rebalancing will happen. For us, last year was extremely important in all channels and all geographies. So all this should actually lead us to an yearly growth anywhere between 17 and 19%, with EBIT between 15 and 16% and net profit around 10%, which is something we've always appreciated. Actually, this year, the growth forecast at the beginning of the year was about 12%. Then, of course, we won the, let's say, the Oscar of fashion for ready-to-wear for 2023. And so this award and this improvement of the taste for quiet luxury has certainly been very, very beneficial for us. So in 2019, we sold 600 million. In 2020, we lost 10%, which was actually very good. So it was 550 million at the end of 2020. For 2022 and 2023, we should reach the end of this year at around 1.1 billion, which means doubling sales in the last 3 years. However, as Luca pointed out, in China and globally, we keep loyal to our strategy. So this big increase in revenues didn't happen because we opened a lot of new stores. We kept opening two or three new stores every year and extending or restyling 3 or 4 stores per year. So this is what happened in 2023. We've virtually concluded the sales campaigns for the men's spring-summer 2024 collection, which was very, very, very good. And so the older collection was really, really performing very well. Next week, we're going to present the women's collection. Hopefully, people will like it. We like it, to tell you the truth. And, well, hopefully, our clients will like it, too. But this kind of planning makes us think that in 2024 we may grow by 5 or 6% in volumes and 3 or 4% in price, and so eventually our growth could be 10%, which is the classic growth percentage of a constant year. Now, as far as taste is concerned, you know, for men in particular, we all went to the showroom in Milano, and we imagined this time. For those of us who are maybe not that young, I'm sure you certainly remember that beautiful movie, The Great Gatsby. It was set in 2022. It was chic and refined and sophisticated and fresh. And so in the 1920s, there were 3 years of war, 2 years of pandemics, and then finally, the King of England himself said, let's dress up, let's be elegant, and this is actually more or less what we now call quiet luxury in the end. So the idea is that you should be wearing something nice all the time, and nice doesn't necessarily mean classic, but something chic, sophisticated, well executed, something whereby you'll buy something interesting. Like 10 minutes ago, I saw something in France. They are actually supporting the value of repairing the ready-to-wear and the apparel. So the French government decided to give incentives to the people who actually want to fix their ready-to-wear if it needs some fixing instead of buying new ones. We believe this is a lovely idea, and keeping your garments and mixing them together with something new, something old. Maybe you need to modify them, to improve them, but you can wear them for decades. So for the spring-summer season in men, so we have seen that suits are really coming back into fashion. So with T-shirts, with ties, with denim shirts, with classic shirts, with sneakers, with classic shoes, whatever. I mean, if you wear a suit, you're chic. And people in their mid-20s or 30s, well, virtually none of them owns a suit, a two-piece suit. And the ones we have, we were a bit older, normally we bought them before 2019. So when you look at your closet and you want to wear a suit that you first bought in 2018 or 19, well, first of all, you should see whether you still fit. And then it looks a bit not so new, frankly. So we do believe that suits are going to become very, very important for us. Now, let me speak about for 3 minutes about the value of places, and in particular Solomeo. There's a lot of VIPs coming to see us here in our small town to try and understand our taste, the way we work, our lifestyle, the place itself, which means I have dinner out every single night. So, you know, tonight it's going to be my 107th night I'm out for dinner in a row, with the exception of one night I didn't go out at dinner. My only luck is I still lost a bit of weight, but I'm hungry as can be, so we're really happy to see people coming over to see us, but it's a huge commitment at the same time. So, you know, we can say that this way of working, this way of communicating that we have is quiet, is sophisticated and fully focused and targeted. So when you come over, you come to the company, you see the factory, you see the product, we have dinner together. There's a lot of important people coming over. Last week, we had a festival with the main guest that was China. That was a project we originally started in 2019, and of course, we had to postpone it. So for 5 days, we had this China team. We had about 20 young people who came over to see what our taste would be, what kind of shows would happen. It was quite demanding because everybody went to bed never before midnight for the whole time. But they actually experienced our lifestyle in the town. So, you know, the town itself is really important. Solomeo is very important for us. You know, we've been producing olive oil for many years. We don't sell it. We just give it to our friends. We also make wine. It's been quite expensive to begin with, but we're starting to sell it. But, you know, this enhances the local town too. And Brunello, I should also say that there is a growing and stronger connection between Solomeo and Cashmere. So what Maranello stands for cars with Ferrari, Solomeo is for Cashmere. And what Mr. Cucinelli is now saying, as soon as I leave Earth, go upstairs, let's say, I would like to come back in a century and see what happens to Solomeo. But I'm sure that even in 100 years' time, Solomeo will be synonymous with Cashmere. So whenever you come here, you should see ourselves, you should see Cashmere, you should see our people processing Cashmere with great skills and care. Now, okay, that was Solomeo, and now let me briefly update you about this beautiful deal we had with our beloved partners, Chanel. So maybe I'll talk about the general outline of the deal. So when we first started our business, we started buying cashmere from Lanificio Cariaggi 45 years ago. It was a father and his sons working there. And I have to tell you the truth, we started off buying 20 kilos of cashmere, then 50, and we paid 6 months later. So Cariaggi have always helped us in our growth. Maybe we helped each other in growing with a lot of quality. Then in 2020, one of the two partners, who was not so young anymore, decided to leave the company. So the company was slightly in trouble for some time, and then someone approached us to say, well, could you step in and buy that 50% stake of the partner who's leaving the company? So that was like May, June 2020. You certainly remember how difficult that time was, but we decided to promise that we would support the partnership, even though one of the partners was leaving. And so at the time, the idea was 70 million, and it was actually what they were selling at the time. So we decided to support the deal, and we'd like to consider this a kind of a gratitude expression for everything we've done together, and hopefully we're going to do a beautiful business together in the future. Then in 2022, our friends, we can call them friends of Chanel, approached us to say we could do something together. So, you know, when Chanel started approaching us, we said, oh my gosh, this is Chanel talking to us. At least we've always considered Chanel as something special, a beautiful company, top level, top quality. They've never done any kind of transaction with anyone. But we decided together to go through with the deal on Cariaggi. And so Cariaggi now has, so the Cariaggi family now has 51%. So the majority stake is still in the hands of the family, which holds 51%, and the majority of the board of directors, whereas the remaining 49% is held by ourselves and Chanel in the same amount. So, Brunello, I would also like to point out that, of course, we share with Chanel the quest for quality, the beauty fibers, and the lovely service that this partnership with Cariaggi will provide us with. But we also share something very important with Chanel that concerns our 400 people, too. So what we share with Chanel is the value of high-level manufacturing in Italy and the value of serving several customers. So we agree with Chanel on the idea that serving a lot of different customers and comparing each other day in, day out is really important. So they always said if some of our workers work for you and vice versa, the creativity rate will improve. I've never met anyone saying if we both work together, it's beneficial for us both. So the quest for innovation, for creativity, for quality is the feedstock of this company, of this joint venture. So it's a continuous comparison and cross-contamination. As Brunello pointed out, this company, like all raw materials company, will have swinging revenues depending on the price of raw material. And so it is a very contemporary company. It's, they're always fully updated on the service quality they provide and so on. So it is the Rolls Royce of Kashmir. Of course, their quality is as good as Loro Piana, but for Loro Piana and Cariaggi, today Cariaggi is actually bigger and provides more yarns. So we have invested in the top global company, which is actually located in a tiny little town and provides top quality cashmere. Okay, eyewear, very quickly. Let's update you on eyewear. So you know we did a beautiful deal with Essilor Luxottica. I still call it Luxottica only. I'm afraid that this is not nice towards Essilor. But actually what I wanted to tell you is that things are doing very, very well. So we go there, seven or eight of us. We go to their factories. They come over. We talk about taste and style. There's a lot of affinity. There's always been a very good relationship with whom I'm happy to call my friend Leonardo De Vecchio and Francesco Milleri. And today we work with Francesco Milleri and Leonardo's children, and we still have a lovely relationship, and hopefully this will continue for the next 20 or 30 or more years. But we would like to call this a contemporary license because we do work a lot on the design and distribution. So we're very, very happy with this relationship. Fragrances. This is another interesting topic. We just presented it some months ago. So after 3 years of research, we certainly know that fragrances are a very complicated thing. I have to tell you frankly, I still have maybe 100 or 200 samples at home, and I got really crazy sniffing them all. But actually what we wanted to do was come up with two basic fragrances for men and women, which would be like our cashmere round neck sweaters, our basics in fragrances, of course. So we chose a beautiful company, 700 million revenues, a lovely Italian company's father and his three children. We have an excellent relationship, and we have the same relationship with them that we have with Luxottica. So every day we talk about products and distribution and so on. So the early results, so far the fragrances are being sold in a limited number of stores, in our 90 lovely multi-brands and a few independent stores, but we have positioned our fragrances on the top of the pyramid. So they are upscale in terms of positioning. We're very confident about this in terms of the taste, because the first thing we need is get the taste right and the fragrance right itself. So let me say a couple of words about new website. After 3.5 years, we've been working on the new website for 5 or 6 months. So if you have time, just take a look and tell us if you like it. So hopefully this new site will represent the image, places, values, the vision of the world that we hold true to. And also e-commerce, which we feel is consolidating a lot, is something we appreciate a lot. But, you know, we had 50% more visits in 1 year last year, and this year it's growing just as much. And what is really important is that around 60% of clients who walk into physical stores come in with some images that I have seen online. So that means the image we provide online is absolutely fundamental. And it's also always been very important for us to tell about our history, the places where we work, how we work, the custodian role we see for ourselves. So we really like this website. And for the first time, we actually completed the website with great satisfaction. So let's now talk about maybe artificial intelligence. But actually, before we do that, let me mention Penne, the Penne facility. So on the 10th of July, we laid the first stone for what is going to be our production site in Penne, a beautiful 4,500 square meters factory. It's going to be opening in the first quarter of 2025, and it will have about 300 people working there. We'll start working there in December 2023 in a temporary facility with the first tailors who are going to work there and will help us grow in the future. And let me just remind you that thanks to Brioni, Penne globally and for us Italians is the place where you manufacture men's suits and particularly jackets, top quality jackets. And so it's a small town of about 10,000 people, and up until recently they had about 3,000 tailors. And the fascinating thing is that schoolboys and schoolgirls, maybe once or twice a week, they used to go to the factory, and they just tried to learn how to be a tailor and to do some seaming. And so with Luca and Brunello, we had a great time in trying to imagine this factory in our project. And it's just in front of the Gran Sasso Mountain, so the aesthetics of the factory will serve not just its sheer beauty, but also the places where our tailors will go and work. Exactly. I forgot to tell you something about Luxottica. In some days, we'll have the eight top managers and the CEO, Mr. Meleri, and we decided that the eight European managers of their beautiful factories in Europe will come over here to discuss the value of the factories and the value of blue-collar work. We want to improve the working conditions of factory workers. We heard a lot, we discussed it a lot in the previous meetings, and we are going to go through with this project. Now, before we get your questions, let me speak for 3 minutes of the new website session called Technology, Humanism, and Artificial Intelligence. In 2016, I was invited to go to San Francisco by Mark Benioff and Kevin Systrom, the founder of Instagram, and we had a dinner where we started talking about technology, and I said, well, you should actually be our leaders in this sense. So we started a very close relationship, in particular with Mark Benioff from Salesforce. And in 2018, he invited me to open the Dreamforce convention in San Francisco, which was a very, very beautiful one. Then in 2019, we invited over to Solomeo Mr. Reid Hoffman and Jeff Bezos, so some technology gurus, to come over here and discuss with us. And, you know, Reid Hoffman, who's a very, very smart person, started talking about artificial intelligence back then. And he started off by saying, do remember that, he called the artificial intelligence cognitive revolution for human beings set to support humanity. And we loved the idea. But personally, you know, it's a bit difficult to understand these pioneers, especially for people like me who are not tech savvy. So today we have reached a very, very important point. So in 2022, we set up a team inside the company, including myself, even though I'm not a tech person, but Luca and Riccardo are more techy than I am, and Francesco Bottigliero is, let's say, the CEO of this small working group. And we set up a research group to study artificial intelligence, because on paper, this would certainly help us improve the working conditions of factory workers, that's for sure. It's relatively easy to imagine that it's going to be a main accelerator for scientific research, so we're not scared about this. I'm not scared. I'm always open-minded when it comes to novelties like this. And it's a bit like saying we have these two pilot systems, so this is not a concern for us. We are going to investigate it thoroughly. Then some days ago, Nicholas Thompson came over to see us. For a long time, he's been the chief editor of Wired. And before joining Wired, he was the chief editor of The New Yorker, and today is the CEO of The Atlantic. So he came over because he wanted to discuss a lot of things, which we did. We had a very open discussion about many things, including artificial intelligence. Now, we believe Nicholas Thompson is one of the most insightful people who know and understand how to work with artificial intelligence. So as we did tell Nicholas, we would like to call this a project for the authenticity of genius, because, you know, me personally, I think, even though I'm not a tech guy, as I told you, so I'm pretty persuaded that this is going to really enhance the value and the authenticity of things. So, you know, printed books, for instance, if you really want to know the real content of Plato's Republic, you have to read it in the book. The direct human relationships will become more and more valuable. A phone call will become more and more important. Handwritten notes will become more and more important. I'm pretty confident this will happen. And I'd be actually happy if we can actually cut 80% of these emails. It takes an hour to explain something that you can explain in 1 minute if you call someone on the phone. And then I think, this is my simple thinking, also shared by Riccardo and Luca and Francesco, who's our chief genius, let's say. So, for you know, if you have a great journalist that you appreciate, and they write something about someone, we'll certainly go and look for what that journalist writes, and we'll look for what they do, whatever it's published. So, you know, some days ago, I came back to a journalist who said we couldn't really find the date of a speech of mine. And I do know it was a speech I delivered, and I kept thinking about when that happened. It was about artificial intelligence, and I was really surprised, and I couldn't really remember when that happened. So they made some examples, and they made me listen to Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs personally said, I went to Solomeo, I met Brudello, I discussed how to humanize the net, the web and so on, and it was quite impressive. So before we gather your questions, how would we like to conclude here? You know, in terms of operations and practice, we are already using artificial intelligence to protect our brand online. We started a lovely little project on that We also started a beautiful project with the Hospital and University of Perugia to try and help in emergency management of strokes. You know, strokes in this region of Umbria is a very big problem, and so emergency management of ischemic strokes is something we are actually trying to manage with the help of artificial intelligence. So as our friend Hofmann, we see it as a cognitive revolution to support humanity. So when I talk to Reed Thompson, I always tell him, you are a genius, but if you can actually build a robot who can actually shed tears when looking up at the sky, then I would be a bit more worried. And Reed answered, said, well, maybe one day we will successfully build that robot. Now, to conclude, then, this is serious and very important. We work in a beautiful atmosphere, to tell you the truth. We are confident, we're brave and passionate towards these new goals for mankind. So the major issue we keep in mind at all times is the value of artisan work. And so the working conditions of factory workers are our key issue. So we keep speaking of factory workers. We don't speak of sales associates and office workers, because our 1,200 sales associates in stores globally are working in a beautiful environment, and they're duly paid to do so. And also we have 1,300 office workers here, and they live in a beautiful environment, and they're proud about the work. But factory workers, I mean, they don't seem to want their children to become factory workers too. So that's where we have to improve the working conditions. So we want to work in practice on the big issue of factory workers. We are a manufacturing company. We're a strong manufacturing company. Italy is a strong manufacturing country, and so we can't avoid coming to terms with this major issue. In recent days, we hired young people in the company to do a specific work in knitwear. We put them in a beautiful place. They have a beautiful view outside. The salary they make is pretty relevant to begin with, ever since day one. Every 2 weeks, we go talk to them. We dedicate them a couple of hours every day to see how to be a good artisan, because they may want to leave the company in 2-3 years once they've learned their trade. They may want to start their own business and become entrepreneurs themselves. So thank you for your attention so far. We'll be happy to take your questions. Let's remember that the factory workers' work is very, very, very important. This is the Chorus Call operator. We're going to have our Q&A session now. If you want to ask questions, please press *1 on your phone. If you want to leave the queue, please press *2, and please speak clearly into the receiver to ask your questions. So if you have questions, please press *1. We're receiving questions now. Andrea Randone of Intermonte will ask the first question. Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Brunello. It's not easy to ask, let's say, low-profile questions after this high-end presentation. And Mr. Cucinelli is saying, Andrea, don't worry. There's no such thing as a low-level question or answer. So don't worry. So I'm an analyst, and I'm asking you three quick questions. So the first is, on store openings. So you said you are very selective in your new openings. So I would like to have your comment about recently opened stores in Dubai and Forte dei Marmi in particular, to try and understand what is particularly attractive in those locations and what made you decide to open here, since you're very selective in your new openings. Then my second question is on margins. You gave us information about revenues. This half year is very brilliant in terms of revenues. Could you please update us about your margins?
The answer is, we're pretty brilliant, but we'll present the P&L on the 28th and 29th of August.
Yes, I know, but maybe you have some early comments on margins. My final question is, you rightly pointed out that fragrances and eyewear are very important targets for you in terms of product development. Could you please give us some information about what you expect from those product lines, and what about the new clients that you may actually want to serve with the new products? There certainly are some clients that admire your brand, but they cannot afford buying ready-to-wear, so they might want to buy these other products.
Thanks a lot. For your first question on the new stores, we love them. They're a bit like Casa Cucinelli. It's always been our culture. So in Madison Avenue and Maximilianstrasse in Munich, for instance, we have small bars where you just walk by and have cappuccino in the morning, even though you're not a client. And we love this. So we realized something. In the past, people spent 16 minutes a day there. Today, the average time spent by customers in the stores is 20 to 23 minutes. So we want to continue giving out this image like it's your house in the store. You can come in whenever you want. You sit down, and your partner can sit down and easily wait for you whilst you're trying on something and so on.
Luca, can you report on margins?
Yes, for Dubai and for Forte dei Marmi in particular. Of course, Dubai is experiencing a very happy time. So Andrea, you know, Dubai is a location where the service level, entertainment level is very high and very attractive for many tourists, global tourists. Also, we should remember that right now, many Russian citizens have moved their place of residence to Dubai, so that market is particularly brilliant, beyond expectations. Forte dei Marmi is a lovely new store. The opening was fantastic. It was a summer party last week, and it was very exciting. Generally speaking, I have to say that the whole resort locations channel is very, very interesting. Resorts have always been very, very important for us for image building, and they are becoming more and more real profit-making stores. So once again, people are going back to physical shops more and more, and we see this increasingly. So when we opened the store, we had 350 guests. It was my 100th dinner out, said Brunello. Brunello was in Milan some nights ago. We did a beautiful event with a key perfume shop in the city to present the fragrances. So there's a lot of desire to spend time together and to be pretty friendly and simple enough. So, you know, I always have this rule, says Mr. Cucinelli, one picture, one cashmere sweater. So I keep doing pictures with everyone, and I say, I'm happy to give you pictures, but you need to buy a cashmere sweater if you want a picture with me. Half-jokingly, of course. Now, as far as margins are concerned, Andrea, we don't expect many surprises. The EBIT is anywhere between 13% and 15%. Net profit is about 10% in our expectations. And actually, we're getting very, very close to our expectations. You know, our P&L is pretty rigid, so to speak. So this growth of revenues will give us some leverage, but it won't change the fundamentals of the company.
Absolutely.
Also, you know, we do spend quite a lot on these events because we do a lot of these events there. They are quite demanding physically for me, but they are absolutely important because we're meeting a lot of important people who are happy to take pictures with us, with me, and then they send them over to their friends, and then they call us because they've seen a nice tuxedo and want to buy it. And so it's really important in terms of sales, immediate sales, but also they help us do a lot of networking. So, fragrances and eyewear, we can't give you any early indication so far, but the most important thing here is taste. So Luxottica says, for women's, we insist on Chanel. For Cucinelli, we have the most beautiful men's products. Of course, Chanel sells a lot more than we do so far, but getting the taste right is absolutely important. We have a lot of younger customers, and by younger I mean people in their 30s or 40s, because the very young are not loyal to brands. They keep switching from one brand to another. So apparently we have gotten the product right, and so having the certainty to get the right product makes me feel the future will be rosier. Thanks a lot to you both. So that's the key thing with products. If products are not charming, well, we won't go for it. The next question will be answered by Oriana Cardani of Intesa San Paolo. Please. Thank you. Good evening, Brunello. Good evening, everyone. I have three questions. As to the main order collection on the men's campaign. So did you see any particularly positive signs in any individual geography, or vice versa, did you see any signs of weakness in other geographies? Then as to the performance in the first half, and as far as the guidance review is concerned, did you get any positive surprise from any specific element, or is it a general improvement that make you more confident for the second half? And then as far as the product mix is concerned, over the last 2 years, accessories have always grown at about 16% of total revenues. So I was wondering whether this percentage is confirmed in the first 6 months too. Thank you. Oriana, let me take your last question first. The percentage of accessories is always the same, and we're very happy because we still want to be identified as a men's and women's ready-to-wear company, and we're now 50-50 on men's and women's. So this is really important because we believe that you create taste through ready-to-wear. And so it's actually why we received the Oscar of fashion for women today and for men some years ago. So this is where you can make a difference. I mean, taste is dictated by ready-to-wear, so accessories will remain at a lower level. So we thought taste would move our way, and it is indeed moving our way. So we are very, very happy to see that. For men, there was no clear weakness. I mean, there's a clear choice, a clear decision. People are going towards a more fashionable man and maybe less classic. I mean, very contemporary, very chic, very sophisticated. And we always thought that 80% of human beings like to dress themselves in this way. And there isn't so much of an offer on the market in this sense. So we are loved and considered to be a kind of a global benchmark of this kind of man, which we're very happy to see. It's like I mentioned the Great Gatsby before. When we opened for Today Marmi, we just looked around, and it just looks nice. I mean, even young men with beautiful T-shirts, beautiful sneakers, it does make a difference, and it's got nothing to do with an old taste. So we were talking about the products this morning with our men's people. So we just came back from the fabric fair, and we realized that many things are really classic, but it takes young people to work here too, you know, Rihanna. It takes younger people, and it takes younger people in the fabric manufacturers, in the creative studios, for us as companies, But we're very confident. I mean, Luca, you see this every day in the showroom in Milan. There's always been a beautiful atmosphere. Anyway, let me specify something for investors and analysts. So we are talking about real luxury, absolute luxury, because this is what we're familiar with. I'm prepared to bet that the half-yearly results are going to be very good. So take this with a pinch of salt, but we're actually, so whoever we talk to and to discuss real luxury, I see there is a beautiful atmosphere, a beautiful attitude. It's actually even better than we thought would happen at the beginning of the year, because last year was magnificent. So, you know, when in April, May, June, you seem to be a bit concerned about the second part of the year, and then the second part of the year was very good too. I mean, it was a growth level, which was unexpected for all of us. So we're very confident, very positive about this. And then, of course, we need products to do their part and to be the source of our good performance. The next question will come from the English conference line from Krista Wang of UBS. Please.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the results. I have two questions, please. Firstly, on trends by consumer nationality, it will be very helpful for us to understand how are the Americans doing, how are the Europeans doing, and if you can comment specifically on the growth of the Chinese consumers. My second question will be focusing on your sales guidance, which is very appreciated for the update to the market. If I look at the midpoint of your guidance, which is plus 18% growth year over year, I'm just trying to understand what kind of, what are the growth drivers you are baking in for H2. I remember at previous conference calls that you commented price mix for this year will be 8%. Can you comment if that's still the case for H2? Thank you very much.
Okay, so as to your first question, the two big trends we have on one side is the sobriety in taste and the charm of exclusivity. So the demand has become much, much bigger and geographically pretty widespread. So if you look at the United States, and not just at the big cities, but throughout the market, we did have a very sharp growth everywhere. The same is true for Europe. And as I said, wholesale is actually growing nicely cross-region. So wholesale, by its own nature, is a proximity business. And so through our presence in wholesale, we were able to serve this growing demand. Chinese customers, well, as you know, we do offer to the Chinese customers exactly the same products we are offering to customers globally. Of course, the sizes and colors are slightly customized in the selection of our stores. Actually, it's just a question of sizes. The main thing is the difference in sizes. I mean, German customers buy triple XL and Chinese customers buy much smaller sizes in general. But, you know, the general offer is shared and it's the same globally. And at the same time, we see that the way in which Chinese customers approach our brand is really similar to the growth we experience in all the other markets. Chris, can I tell you something? This is Brunello Cucinelli speaking now. So, you know, we do have an European price, which is 100. In the US, it's 120. In Asia, it's 128. So we don't have any Asian customers that complained and said that our price is too high compared to the European or US price. So this is actually a part of our way of behaving. I mean, for us, if it's coming from China or Europe, it's the same because it's still very relevant for us. So we are pleased when our customers tell us, well, for us, buying in Shanghai or Milan is not that different because the price is well balanced. And now the CFO is speaking, and he's saying that the final important element is that in all markets, we find the same balance between men and women. So we're nearly 50-50, and I think this is something we see pretty much everywhere, from the States to China. Mr. Brunello now speaks and says that it's a bit as though in the same family, men and women who have the same taste find something they both like in our stores. You know, this has always been a bit difficult. So it's always been like this. You may be very special for women and not so much for men, so vice versa. But what we always need to thank Dolce & Gabbana, who some years ago said Cucinelli is the only company in the world that successfully presents the same image for men and women. So this is really, really interesting. We still thank them for these nice comments. So, but when we do the fitting, you know, what we do is we take both our men and women employees and say, there's 30 of us here tonight. Let's get dressed to go out for dinner. So if you look at us, you see it's the same maison, it's the same house that builds those products. So if you go to a store and you see the first four or five men's windows and then the four or five women's windows, you see the taste is the same. It's the same hand, it's the same house, and we love that. So, you know, maybe we are actually gathering some of the fruits of our taste. So what are the drivers, you were asking? I think that our taste is our main driver. So taste is the driver, and in terms of numbers, we think the second half will be one of consolidation. So we will close the exceptional time we've lived through, and we'll be back to a pace which is more regular, let's say. Also because the second quarter of last year was very, very special for all of us. So, you know, last year the curve was on the rise. So we think the second half is going to be on the rise too, and we are going to get to a more balanced situation. So once again, we think that for True Luxury, the second half year will be very good. And we always like to start thinking about these things ahead of it, of their time. We always like to express our view. And even if we make mistakes from now on, we haven't made mistakes in our forecasts and guidance so far. So we'll get back to you at the end of July to provide you more updated answers. The next question will be asked by Paola Carboni of Equita SIM. Good afternoon. I only have one question. Now, we keep seeing this upwards guidance reviews. Well, Paola, we should all be happy about that, said Brunello. But actually, you know, I was pleased to review our production setup, and in particular, just a few months down the road, you apparently achieve a higher turnover than you had originally planned. So you talk about planning many times. So I'd like to understand how you perform in terms of your capacity, how you can arrange production with maybe reorders. Maybe that's what we should look at. So what allows you to accommodate this growth? Well, the answer, Paola, is we've always delivered very, very well. You know, there are some companies that are particularly strong in production or in design. So even at the hardest of times, we didn't fire people. We made no hard decisions with our manufacturers, and that actually makes a difference. So, you know, our main partners are 400 companies that have 7,000 employees. We've always bought raw materials because in 2020 we had 42% of what we needed in our stock rooms. And we said, okay, if we start, we'll have the necessary goods. And we do, so we can deliver. You know, deliveries are a pretty complicated thing. So you can actually see that better if you go to multi-brand stores, because it's only a multi-brand store that can actually tell you practically how deliveries are performing. You don't see that in our retail stores only. And that does make a difference. You know, Paola, many times people said that reorders were lacking and missing, but it didn't happen this way. I mean, deliveries were at least 2 months late. So, of course, if you are used to looking at January and on March 30 you want a reorder to receive it at the beginning of May, then if you are 6 weeks late, of course, you just won't have reorders at all. So why didn't we have reorders? Because we didn't have enough raw materials, because we didn't order it in advance. None of us wants to risk, you know, Paola. So we still tend to wait till the last second. I mean, recently there was a fabric fair, and the fabric makers kept criticizing us and saying, why do you always ask for discounts on raw materials, knowing that our profit margins are so low, and you want to place the orders in July? How can we plan our work? So, you know, deliveries are always also determined by a beautiful relationship between the business and the suppliers that keep designing how to postpone work or to anticipate it, and this is very important work. Let me make a simple example. We have Zegna Tessuti that does planning on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If they receive orders on Monday night, they can plan them for Tuesday, but they receive it on Tuesday, they plan it for Thursday, which is 2 days later, and 2 days later in planning may mean 2 weeks later in deliveries. So it's a technicality and it's a bit complicated, I understand this, but Zegna always tells us it's a pleasure to work with you, because you fully understand that 1 day late in deliveries may mean 10 days later in deliveries of raw materials, which means even longer delays for finished products. Even for the simplest fabrics, for white shirts, for instance, you need to buy fabrics and weave them and dye them. If I may add, Paola, says the CFO, I do spend a lot of time with our factories and our suppliers. I just spent all of last Monday with one of our suppliers, and they do have some shared characteristics that make them very flexible and very active. So the presence of the entrepreneur, the business founder or family, which is actually the best way to be very flexible and react to our requirements, for instance. We know that we have a lot of unexpected increases in volumes many times. Another feature that our suppliers share is very scalable and artisan capability. They can scale up very quickly with a level of quality which cannot be achieved if you haven't planned well in advance. So can I tell you something, Paola? So 3 or 4 years ago, someone said a pretty uncomfortable thing. I mean, someone said, it's so beautiful to work with other people's warehouses and stocks. So you can't possibly do that or say that. I mean, to get a good result, you need to take responsibilities altogether, risk with stock, and place your orders at the right time. Because if you have a certain time for the production of a white shirt, you can't escape it. So the amount of woven material you can produce is only so much. You can't increase it just by snapping your fingers. So the connection between the company And the suppliers have always been very strong, very good. We've helped them through dire times. And so when you have been helpful through difficult times, you can count on a number of people who are happy to work with you now that the times are better. So once again, the real value for us is factory workers. Thank you very much. So I'm sorry because we've been speaking longer than originally expected, but I think it's not just Paola that may be interested in this. Next question, Melania Grippo of BNP Paribas. Good afternoon. I'd like to know about the performance of online business in the first half, especially compared to retail, which grew by 42%. And also, could you please give us an idea of the trends in Europe and Italy? How did local customers perform versus tourists? Thank you. So, Luca, will you answer on tourists? Sure. You know, as far as tourists are concerned, you know, our business is mainly a domestic business. Then, of course, there may be different situations in different markets. By nature, Italy is a tourist destination, so we've grown a lot in the domestic component, and we grew just as much in the tourist component. Other European markets are virtually completely domestic markets, and I'm thinking of places like Germany, Switzerland, Belgium. So when we look at the performance in Europe, I think none of us would have imagined such a major desire and a major request from European domestic consumers. I do remember that at the end of the pandemic, we were concerned when we thought that the Chinese tourists would not travel to Europe. But I have to say that all European markets are in great shape today, also thanks to local buyers, local shoppers. You know, hotels and restaurants and everything is full, fully booked in Umbria. I mean, we never received many tourists in March or April. Today, it's overbooked everywhere. So it means there's a lot of people traveling everywhere. This is for sure. Online? Of course. Sorry, I was forgetting. So online business is growing nicely for us. But once again, we had two or three very important years. So frankly, you may remember that in 2020, someone said we would become an online business and never go back to physical stores and do smart working, and that was it. So today, we have no remote working at all. The physical stores are doing extremely well. The online business is doing well, too. But the way you present your goods online makes a difference. We had 50% of visitors. And actually, 60% of the people who walk into the stores have a picture they've seen online. So they want our advice, our suggestions, our styling suggestions. So for communication, this is fundamentally important. But we haven't become totally online. You may remember someone said we won't even need people to make coffee for us. We'll all work from home. And I said, I won't believe it. I'm not prepared to spend my whole day at home. There's no collective creativity, no difference, no separation between your private life and your public life. And then what can younger people learn? Thank you. Thank you all. I'm sorry we've been talking for a long time today, but I think these are beautiful concepts. This is the operator. If you have questions, please press star 1 on your phone. So there are no further questions at this stage. Very good. So thank you all very much. We invite you to come over and see us in July in this beautiful little town of ours to have a nice chat and see the town. We would like to convey our very positive attitude towards the company, towards the market.
But we still believe we need to have a beautiful product, and we keep sustaining exclusivity. It's not true that being exclusive is synonymous of being desirable. Being exclusive is a serious business. So thank you all very much. Have a nice summer, but we're here. And on the 28th of August, we'll meet again to disclose the quarterly data. Thank you very much.